This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. Now, after 28 years on WAAF, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Joining us now, as he will every Patriots Monday on this show, it's Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors, New England Honda dealers, driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V, Mass General Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, and the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in the sexual health of men. Tom Brady, good morning.
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
How are
you?
Good to you.
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, it's good. I don't know if you've had a chance to hear the new show or not. I imagine you're probably not a radio guy on the way into work in the morning. You're probably listening. What do you listen to on the way in?
Oh, God. It depends what mood I'm in. Usually it's music, but, every once in a while sports, and every once in a while Howard Stern. So
what about no motivational tapes? I feel like you'd be a motivational tape guy on the way in.
Tony Robbins.
Really? Why do you feel that?
Well, because I feel like you're every day that you're making yourself better. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it.
So it's all motivation. I think those things, whatever people are into, that's totally cool with. I'm like mood music. I'm either got to hype myself up a little or try to relax myself a little and just see how I'm feeling. So there's probably no one staple. It's been a lot of many, many years of driving into work. So it feels like a routine now.
I was, while we were waiting for you, I was wondering if you have to, do you have to get the house ready before you leave? Like pick everything up because you never know when a broker is going to come by with somebody to take a look at the place?
My wife's got, she's got all that handled. So like in most of our houses, our wives kind of take care of the important things and I get to go off to work every morning and she gets to take care of, our beautiful kids. And I got to support her the best way I can too. So that's why it's a good relationship.
Absolutely. Well, as is often the case when it comes to your contract negotiation, I think there are always varying reports and we go back and forth kind of wondering which is true and which isn't. So I wanted to ask you this morning kind of how you would characterize how this particular negotiation went, Tom.
With the team, obviously a lot of those, I've had incredible success as this team has had over 20 years. We have a great relationship, and if anything, the Patriots have taught me, it's, being in the present and not resting on what's happened in the past and certainly not worrying about what's happening in the future. I'm excited to get out there and play this year and do what I hope to do for this team, which is be a great leader, be a great example, be a great player. And then beyond that, it's not really, there's just too much work to be done between now and, and next season. So there's no point really worrying about it. That's how I feel.
Should we, we read in not only on sports radio and in the media, but fans as well, try to read into things all the time. Should we read anything?
No, people read into it.
It's I know it's surprising.
No way. I know.
It's not like they listen to everything you say and analyze whether it's a Belichick quote or anything else, Tom. Nobody pays any attention to that. Should we read anything into the timing when it comes to selling the house?
I'd certainly hope not. You shouldn't read into anything. I think it's, it takes a long time to sell a house. I don't know if you guys, my house is a little bit of an expensive one, so it doesn't quite, fly off the shelf in a couple of weeks. So I think it's just, I'm at a point in my life where there's a lot of considerations that go into playing. And, I have a very busy professional life. I have a very busy personal life. We're just, any decision that's made, has to consider everything. And I think that's, you know, I'm certainly at a place where I've been in the same place for a long time, and I love playing for the Patriots, and I have such a great relationship with Mr. Kraft and Coach Belichick and our team, and you know, we'll worry about that when that happens. This isn't the time to worry about it.
Tom Brady is our guest. I think you know, you talk about kind of the future there, and I think most Patriots fans can't fathom the idea of you not finishing your career here as a Patriot. Is that something that you ever think about?
Again, lessons I've learned in my life are you control the things that you can control, you know, and things that are out of your control, you just got to go with the flow. And, you know, again, I think I'm in a great mental place, great mental, emotional place to approach the season. Again, this isn't the first time around. So
yeah,
there's no point in worrying about things like that, because there's so many what ifs and hypotheticals and this and that and this and that. If you spend all your time and energy on those things, you miss track of what's really most important, which is what's happening right now. You know, this is where I want to be. This is, you know, the team that I want to be a part of and leading. And I'm really excited about doing that. And there's really not much more to read into it than that.
Okay. You played catch with Gronk at UCLA during the offseason. How did Gronk look, and how long do you think it would take him to get back into playing shape if he wanted to do that, Tom?
I know that's another loaded offseason question that I've gotten from about 5 million people. I think Gronk is just, you know, he's a great friend. He always will be. I'm excited for him and the choices he's making. And I think for all of us, you know, you look at pro football, obviously your career, it's a pressure-packed environment. You know, you got to perform every single day. And, you know, that's a lot to take on. And, you know, to see him kind of regain his, you know, outward spirit, you know, has been fun to see. And he's enjoying himself. And I think everyone who knows him just wants the best for him. And, you know, I think he's enjoying his time right now.
He did show up at my golf tournament, and he looks like he's down 50, at least 50 pounds, maybe 75.
50 pounds? Oh, my God. No way. He's down like probably 15.
15? That's it?
Yeah. He's a huge. I mean, he's 6'7". He's still a monster.
Yeah. Josh Gordon, have you heard from him? And from the point of view of you in the offense, how much would it mean for this offense if he were to be allowed back in the league?
All those are still questions, you know, too, the league's got to figure out. So, we all support him, and the guys who have been on the team have been working hard. And, you know, you saw in the preseason game the other night, you know, they made a bunch of plays, the receivers did. You know, and it's just at this point in the year, no one really knows what their team's going to be like. You know, it's all a lot of hope and hype right now. So, you know, you can't really buy into either of those things. You really have to worry about the process and just putting your head down and getting out there to work. And, you know, again, we're practicing today. We go to Tennessee tomorrow. You know, the guys who make this team are going to have earned it. And to play on the Patriots is a great privilege, and you're going to have to work your tail off to make it. So whoever makes it, makes it. You know, that's not my decision. That's our coach's decision. And, you know, we got to come together as a team and put our best team out there.
We were talking earlier about how everything you do is overanalyzed by the fans and by the media. Are you surprised when you see or hear, for instance, a full discussion about the difference between your reaction to a Hoyer-led drive and a rookie quarterback-led drive?
No, I haven't even heard that. But from the other night?
Yes, yes.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
So I'm
glad. See, this is why I'm glad I don't listen to sports sometimes, too. So.
You should tune in. Oh, yeah. You should tune in. We have 4 hours. Tom, we have 4 hours to fill. We have to make something up here and there. You know what I mean?
Understand. You got to talk about a lot of stuff. I totally understand that. No, that's pretty, man, it is what it is. So
yeah.
I was happy for everyone the other night. That was really great. Brian played great. Jarrett played great. Like I said, the defense, I mean, they've been playing well all training camp. It's just fun to see, you know, everyone get out there and perform. And I definitely realize I don't like standing around watching football for 3 hours on the sideline. So
yeah,
that's not definitely one of my favorite things to do. I'd much rather be out there playing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
If you could take anything from that game, I think you could take that from that game.
Well, I was going to ask how tough it is for you, not as a competitor, not to be out there.
I know. I love being out there playing, and I love being out there with the guys. And, you know, football, this would be my 29th year football in my life. This will be my 29th year. So that's a lot of football. That's a lot of routine. That's a lot of process. And I think the joy is getting out there and actually playing a game, because you practice, you train, and you know, you work out on the beach, and you work out on the field, and you work out in the mountains, and you throw, and you throw in your pads, and you do your running, and you do your lifting. And then all of it is really for that 3 hours a week. And to have the chance to go out there and play, that's where you get to cut it up. That's where you get to really go cut it loose. So when you do it, it's a great highlight of my life. So I hate missing the opportunity to do it, and hopefully I can get some, I can lobby for some playing time this week in Tennessee.
Do you still see yourself playing to 45, Tom?
Yeah, I do. I certainly hope so. It's a challenge. I mean, if there's one thing, as you do get older, again, speaking from some experience, you know, it's a big commitment, and it's a lot of time and energy I put into getting ready for practice, getting ready, you know, post-practice treatment. You know, the mental part of the game is, I would say, not the challenge. It's just really working hard to keep my body in physical preparation, physical shape. You know, that's a big challenge. And I'm certainly not a robot. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of time and energy to prepare myself and my body to play. So I love it. I love doing that. And I think that's why I've been very fortunate to be able to play as long as I have. But again, it's a physical sport. There's no certainties. I've had long-term goals, you know, and I've said 45 for a long time, and I hope I can make it there. I'm close, but, you know, I'm just going to take it and see, reevaluate after the year and see how I feel, and you know, hopefully I can just keep doing it.
Do you ever think about what you will do when you call it quits? Can you see yourself on TV, or can you see yourself coaching?
I don't know. Again, I've never been forced to make that decision. You know, I haven't really had the focus, the time and energy on that. You know, it's been mostly hobbies, some of the other things, and certainly off the field. I have some business interests, but nothing really kind of, you know, feels the way football does or preparing for football. So, you know, our TB12 business is, I love it because it's so authentic to my life, and it's so authentic to who I am and how I live my life. And I think that's why it's been so fun for me to pursue that, you know, mostly in the off season, you know, because I love to, and I felt like so many people have asked me over the years all the things that I'm doing, and to actually lay it out for people and say, here, this is all the kind of learnings that I've had, has been a great, you know, off-field excitement for me to show and share with other people. So that will definitely be a part of my second career, per se. Being a dad and being a husband will be another part of it. And then what's beyond that? Maybe I'll be an architectural designer, something like that, because I love building houses.
Have you considered, as you guys put the place on the market and you were lured to places like Greenwich, Connecticut, they're making a big push to get you to move to Greenwich. Have you thought about where, like, which state you want to be in? I think everybody assumes you want to be closer to New York.
Well, we have a great home in New York, and, you know, we've spent time in California over the years. My son lives in New York. I've spent time in California. You know, we have a home in Costa Rica we've gone to for 12 years. We have a home in Montana we've gone to. So I think we've just been blessed to have our kids experience the world. My wife's from Brazil. You know, we do a lot of travel. So, you know, we built our home in California and we sold it. And we built this one here in Boston. And, you know, we're just fortunate to have options. And we'll decide when the time comes. And, again, I don't want to put any pressure on myself to have to decide to determine things without, you know, having the feelings and emotions of what that moment is like when we meet you. So, again, I'm just fortunate to experience different parts of the world. And, you know, we'll see when that time comes, we'll make decisions then.
I have one further question on the contract thing, Tom, because everybody has said for 2 weeks that I'm only going to deliver softballs to you. So I have to.
Oh, are these hard hitting?
Yeah, I have a hard hitting one here.
So
can you just give us kind of your philosophy when it comes to the franchise tag and why that was an important part of this for you?
I mean, I think there, again, those are some personal feelings, and there's a lot of personal conversations that I've had that really, you know, aren't for other people's knowledge, you know. And again, I think what this is about is just this season and dealing with this year and beyond this year, whether it's signing 5 more years or signing a franchise tag or not playing, or none of those things needed to be decided this year. So I think what it was is just focused on this season and being in the right mental, emotional frame of mind to, you know, go out there and perform at my highest level. And like I said, I've got such a great relationship with the team, and I had 20 years of success with you know, Mr. Kraft and Jonathan and, you know, with Coach Belichick, with the whole organization, all the coaches, I mean, they know how I feel about them, you know, and we've just done some great things, and we're going to try to go do it again this year. And there's just, it takes a lot to get from now to March, and I don't want to overlook the big challenge that we're facing. And I don't want my mind convoluted with, you know, thoughts that are premature or ones that I'm worrying about beyond what the current situation is, which is us trying to go achieve what, you know, we all hope we can achieve. And that's where my focus is, and that's what I'm excited about. So let's go, baby. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go play.
So
would you be in the mindset then that if they came to you in the middle of the season and said, let's get something done from an extension point of view that gives you security and, you know, you're going to end up finishing your career here, would that be something that you would say, let's talk about it now? Or you would say, we're in the middle of the season, let's kind of wait till we get to where we're going?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's just, again, there's so many different scenarios and hypotheticals, and you can talk for, you know, this is why it's great to be in your job. When I'm done, I'm going to can I come work for you for a week?
Yes.
Just talk about all these different scenarios and situations, because that would be very fun to talk about lots of hypotheticals, but I can't. In my job, I can't talk about hypotheticals. I have to just talk about, you know, the present moment, and that's what we're doing. So, again, that's where I'm my head at.
All right, this is not a hardball. It's a softball question. Did you ever end up throwing a football at anybody's face thanks to social media? That's what I want to know.
No, I've been pretty good about that.
Were you surprised when you saw that trending, how many people wanted you to throw a football at their face?
I know. I think that was pretty good. I think that's been such a fun aspect for me, social media engagement. And you know, I've had kind of a couple good years at exploring, you know, what the fans like and what they want, and to show really different aspects of myself, you know, instead of just always Tom Brady, the football player, other aspects of my life. And I love sharing those things. So, you know, it's a great tool to have, you know, to relate to a lot of, you know, and people. So I don't abuse it. I don't try to abuse it. I try to make sure what I present, I'm really proud of, because I realize it lives on forever. But yeah, man, it provides me a laugh too.
Are you are you planning on another Tom versus Time this year?
There's nothing really in the works. You know, I think there's, I would say no, that would be the kind of the, off the top of my head, nothing like that. So, but there's other little, you know, things that I'm interested in doing that maybe will happen down the road. Things that are more reflective and, you know, a couple cool little projects in the work that I focus on mostly in the off season.
Are you okay with wearing the new helmet this season?
Yeah, it's kind of, they kind of spoke to me last year about it. And I've been experimenting with a couple different ones. And I don't really love the one that I'm in, but, you know, I don't really have much of a choice. So I'm just trying to do the best I can to work with it. You kind of get used to the same helmet for a long period of time. And I did that. And my last helmet, you know, I wore in the last four Super Bowls, you know, so it was a pretty great helmet for me. And I hated to put it on the shelf, but, you know, that was kind of what they said to do. So kind of what I'm dealing with, and I'm working with something else.
Should we let Nick ask a question? Tom, we have Fitzy here, Nick, and he's, I mean, he worships the altar that you sit on every day.
Let's do it. Nick, what's up, baby?
Nick,
how we doing?
Nick,
all right, Tom Brady just said, Nick, what's up, baby? Let me check that off my bucket list. Awesome.
Hey, what else you got on there? Let's knock some of these off while you got me.
Yeah. All right, Tom. So this is awesome.
He's going to die. He's literally going to die
literally
on the
you're
air.
Going to, the man has to get to practice.
Yeah, we got
to
go. He's got a football season.
Your hands don't shake when you ask questions to other grown men? Come on.
He has to park in his special spot. Tom, do you still have the special spot down there?
I haven't had one for a long time.
All right.
No special spots for me.
No special parking spot. All right, go ahead, Nick. What?
All right, so Tom, obviously Josh is the quarterback's coach of the team, but
yes.
I was curious as to when you're bringing along a rookie like you have Stidham on the team now, what your role, what your process may be in helping, not necessarily groom him, but get him ready for the NFL game, you know, and how influential and what did Drew do for you back in 2000, and how can you relay that now to a guy like Stidham on the team?
Yeah, Drew was great for me. You know, Drew was a great example for me. And, I think it's more of, you know, we're together basically all day. You know, we're all in the same meetings. We sit next to each other. We go through the same tape. We go through the same coaching point. And, you know, over the years, whether, you know, like Jared this year or before that was, you know, Jimmy and Jacoby, Ryan Mallett, Matt Castle, Brian Hoyer, obviously. I've had so many. And then before that, I kind of had a couple older guys that I work with, Vinny Testaverde, Doug Flutie. I'm sure I'm missing some guys in between there. But, look, we have, like, a great quarterback room relationship, and we share, you know, it's just constant sharing back and forth about football, plays, scheme, you know, things that we need to talk to the receivers about, things we need to talk to the running backs about, things we not need to talk to Josh about. And I would say it's just a great quarterback room conversation. And the fact that a younger player gets to be in that room, you know, they can learn a lot. And they learn kind of the process, the thinking, and they hopefully they can apply it. I mean, if I had someone that had 20 years of experience on me, I would take everything in. And I think a lot of these young guys do, whether they play quarterback or other positions. I mean, I'm always trying to, you know, help the guys in any way that I can, because being a good leader means you help the other guys around you be the best they can be too. And that's, you know, that's really the relationship, and that's what we're trying to do. So you want everyone to succeed. You want everyone to do well. You certainly want the team as a whole to do as well as it possibly can. And when it does, it's really a magical feeling. So we have a great room this year. I love, you know, watching those guys perform the other night, and hopefully we can keep it going. It's going to be a tough test this week in Tennessee, because we've got a lot of they got a very talented roster, very talented coaches. So it's going to be a very telling week for us.
Now the quarterback question of the week, which is brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing in the sexual health of men. Go ahead, Nick.
Okay, Tom. So I fall down a lot of these, you know, Twitter and Reddit holes a lot of times with debates. And welcome to Twitter. I hope you're not regretting that decision thus far.
positivity, man. It's unbelievable.
Isn't it really?
Positive. Twitter is very positive. If I need to be uplifted, I go right to Twitter, yeah. Tom. That's what I do.
I'm like, God, this is just, anyway, close the app, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's the social.
Quarterback question of the week.
Yeah. Okay, so coming from the super fan perspective, I'd like to know, what do you think is your greatest throw ever? I get caught in debates with people all the time online. What's the greatest Tom Brady throw of all? Well, there's so many to pick from, Greg.
No,
I mean, I know what I think is your greatest throw ever, but I'd love to hear from you. What do you think is the best throw you've ever made as a Patriots quarterback?
Man. Oh, God. Oh. Give me yours, and I'll see if that's in the top 10.
Okay. 2003, overtime in Miami, the 78-yarder to Troy Brown.
That was a great throw. That's definitely in the top 10.
How about Kenbrell Tompkins, 2013?
You know, that was more of, in my view, a poor defensive play. That wasn't like a spectacular throw. But it was a great throw. Go ahead. This. This is fun.
AFC Championship. We didn't like the result, but how about 4th and 12 to Gronk down the seam with the two safeties draped on him?
Yeah, that was a great throw.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was
great. Most people, believe it or not, most people say that your best throw was in the divisional game to LaFell to give you guys the lead against the Ravens, ultimately sealing the win.
No, I don't think so. That wasn't up there. There was a lot of ones to Moss. There was some to Stallworth, some ones to David Patton. We always got to kind of pick the long ones.
Yeah.
There was a cool one I threw to Brandon Tate against the Minnesota Vikings. I fell down. Or what happened? I scrambled, and then I just turned around and I threw it to Brandon Tate. It was at home with Brett Favre, the quarterback, and he caught it and ran for a long touchdown. That was a pretty cool play. I threw one from my butt one time against the Bengals to Patrick Pass, like a 7-yard gain. So that was pretty good, too. No left-handed passes or no-look passes yet, but I'm working on those. So those might be in the repertoire this year. We got to try to add some to the top 10. This could be cool.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for checking in, and we're going to talk to you again next week. And I can inform the rest of the media that you are not disgruntled. That is correct, right?
No, I'm pretty happy guy. I'm pretty positive guy. You know that. I look at the glasses half full. basically every day. So I'm in a good place.
Any chance of getting a discount, like a discount on the house? I mean, I know it's like $39 million. I mean, would you be willing to finance, like owner finance a sale on this?
For you, let's talk about this offline. Maybe we can work something out, but only for you.
All right, only for me. By the way, the governor was very excited that you threw him a touchdown pass in the game.
Best Buddies.
The Best Buddies game in June.
That was pretty great. I love when he comes out. And, you know, he's supported Best Buddies for a long time. So it's a great organization. And, you know, I love seeing everyone come out and get their little football skills. And I try not to throw the passes too hard because it can hurt pretty bad if you get one. So try to be somewhat gentle.
All right, Tom. Well, we'll talk to you again talk to you again next week. And thanks a lot.
Okay, take care. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, there he is, Tom Brady.
Coming up this afternoon, Bill Belichick makes his return to Patriots Monday with OMF. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. The summer clearance event waiting for huge savings on a new 2019 Ram 1500. Well, the wait is over. Stop into 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Get the Ram you want at the discount you have been waiting for. There you have it, the Tom Brady interview. It'll be up. It is actually up now at WEEI.com if you want to go and peruse through it. To an answer or two that strikes you. No, I'm reacting to the Stidham-Hoyer bite. Belichick also talked about Stidham on the conference call after the game Thursday. I don't think we played this last week, Greg. See what you think about this. It's not quite Jimmy G love yet from Bill, but he broke it down.
You know, several plays that were fell into all the categories, probably quick throws where the read was clear and, you know, the receiver was open, and then maybe a secondary read, and then there were a couple times when he scrambled and extended the play, ran a couple times, and completed a pass. I think it might have been to the tight end. There's a little bit of everything there, and the most important thing for the quarterback is not to turn the ball over and make good decisions and throw accurately. So he did all those at times.
That sounds like a guy who's intrigued by number four, old number four.
You can't help yourself. You just want to create. You so desperately
want to create. Like this wasn't created already.
You want to
Thursday night, it was created.
You want to create a quarterback controversy. Tom, you heard him say it. He doesn't even know that anybody is focused on his reactions.
That Belichick bite created... That Belichick bite created so much intrigue. I can't wait to hear him with OMF today. He just sounds like he's ready to go off the handle.
But he'll go off on Stidham for over a minute today. Over under is a minute talking about Stidham on OMF today. I'm putting it down right now.
Can I take the under, please?
You can take the under. If you lose the bet, I get to ask the quarterback question of the week next week. How about that?
All right.
Hey, I didn't say it. That's my emotional real estate. Don't go putting your house up next to mine.
Well, if you don't have conviction, don't make the bet. Red Sox dropped both weekend games against the Angels at Fenway. Blown out 12-4 on Saturday, then another blown bullpen lead. 22nd on the year, Matt Barnes gives up the game-tying homer to Cole Calhoun in the 8th. LA wins it 5-4 yesterday in 10. Chris Owings, the debut in the leadoff spot, 0-5 with 3 strikeouts. Yuck. Red Sox 8 back of Tampa in the loss column for that second wild card with 42 games left. In Cleveland tonight, 7:10 the first pitch, 6:10 pregame on the Shaws in Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. This hour of the Greg Hill Show brought to you by the City of Boston Credit Union. Membership open to everyone that lives, works, or goes to school in Norfolk, Suffolk, and Middlesex counties. Visit cityofbostoncu.com for membership information. City of Boston Credit Union, uniquely Boston. It's the Greg Hill Show.
We're back with the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I play the silver ball from Soho down to Brighton. I must have played them all, but I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
I have a hard-hitting one here. So can you just give us kind of your philosophy when it comes to the franchise tag and why that was an important part of this for you?
I mean, I think, those are some personal feelings, and there's a lot of personal conversations that I've had that really, you know, aren't for other people's knowledge.
So he's basically saying what everybody is speculating, that he wants to be available when Tom Brady is talking about the franchise tag. He wants to be available at the end of the season to take a look at every single option, including not playing. I mean, he said the words not playing. So.
Right. He left it open to him. My question to you, Greg, is what is going to be the Max Kellerman, Shannon Sharp, biggest takeaway from this interview, which has already gone viral across the country? What's the response? What's going to be the biggest takeaway from the interview today?
My question is, who cares? I think it's going to be Nick's question. I think Nick's question is going to be the biggest takeaway. No, I don't know. I mean, what do you tell me? What do you think they're going to be talking about?
I think it's going to be his response to your question about the house, where he said, what was the exact response, Ken?
There's a lot of considerations that go into, you know, playing and I have a very busy professional life. I have a very busy personal life. Any decision that's made, you know, has to consider everything.
So I think the sort of vague, got to consider everything reaction to your question about selling his house is going to be the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, the headline I've been seeing so far, Greg, is don't read into it. I've been seeing people grab and run with. Don't read into it. I think that's the takeaway, the don't read into it.
For some reason, the architectural design seems to be getting a lot of buzz. His post-playing career. I've seen 8 retweets of it. Yeah.
Really?
And the two Joes have already started the Not Your Average Joes podcast discussing Brady coming in studio to host when he retires and where in the day parts they're going to put that.
So he's going to do like an architectural pod. Is that what he's going to do?
Yep.
Well, the man has 87 different houses, so of course he's into designing homes. But, I mean, can you imagine Tom Brady architect? Like, if he hung his shingle out and he was an architect, I mean, people would pay, they would overpay just to have him design their home, wouldn't they?
Oh, my God, the Rose Kennedy Greenway, he goes in and does some architecture there, it'd be massive amounts of money.
He can't be a good designer. He sells his house after 2 years.
Hold on, Ken. Greg, when you watched Tom versus Time, did you watch for the insight or for the Zillow porn that was the inside of his Brookline house?
It's the house.
Oh, my God.
It's the house.
That house.
It's a beautiful place. Oh. It really is a beautiful place. They don't run out of storage room at a place like that. You know what I mean? I think he'd be good on television. Do you think he'd be Romo-like on television or no?
I think he'd be very good. I just don't think he wants any part of having to criticize other players. I think while Romo doesn't really attack other guys, I think Brady is just uncomfortable in a position of being an analyst and critiquing other players. The greatest of all time have a very hard time being a critic on TV.
Although I liked our previous caller who pointed out the Patrick Mahomes shot there, the no-look passes. I think he's right about that.
Yes,
listening back to that.
Absolutely. But you don't think, I mean, listen, all those guys have an issue with that when they, you know, I remember Ted Johnson talking about how he didn't want to do television because he didn't want to criticize guys that he had played with, but they get over that.
But Ted Johnson isn't selling a $40 million mansion. I think the people that do that at some level want the money. Rodney Harrison was a great, I think, Hall of Fame level player, but he didn't get the money that Brady has. He's on NBC Football Night in America because it's a paycheck. Not like he'd be living, you know, paycheck to paycheck if he didn't have it, but he wants the money and needs it. Brady doesn't need any part of that scrutiny.
Texter says Tom Brady, 978 Texter says Tom Brady equals Art Vandelay. Yes, he does. Well, what would you expect that he would do? I mean, he's going to, obviously, TB12, he brought that up during the interview. That's going to be a big part of what he does afterwards.
I think that's going to be the most significant part of what he does afterwards. Belichick was talking recently. Scott Pioli, the former general manager who worked in tandem with Belichick, talked about the plans they laid when they took the team over, Greg. And Belichick's master plan, which some believe now butts heads with Brady's plan to play into his 40s, was to do something great and then lay the foundation for continued greatness and be remembered by that. Brady has done his great on the field now. How are people going to remember him for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years? Trying to change bioscience. I really believe that he thinks he and Guerrero's work is the next step in doing something to prolong careers and reverse a lot of damage done to the human body.
You don't think that he's going to try to revolutionize architectural drawings? Like, you're not, that's not what you...
Yes. Yes, I'm sure Ayn Rand wishes she could come alive again and write a new Fountainhead about Tom Brady because he's the Howard Rourke of the 21st century.
I think he wants to be the next Goodell. He's going to be the commissioner of the NFL. He's going to replace him so he can take the job of the douche that took out 4 games of his career.
Well, he'd finally make the money that he deserves to make. What's Roger Goodell making now? 30,
$37 million or something like
that? Right around there, yeah.
If he steps down at the end of his next contract, Greg, please get a hold of something, everyone. If Goodell steps down at the end of this contract, he will have made $550 million.
Really?
$550
million.
That's $25 million more than Greg makes.
There's a guy, I think that there's a dude who still flies a plane banner over his home in Scarborough, Maine, for our Maine listeners who are listening up there still, yeah. I think the guy still does that.
Is it like Goodell, you suck?
Yeah, it was something along those lines, yes. When it flies it over the frogmen that Goodell has protecting his property from a water attack in beautiful Scarborough, Maine.
Didn't he get chased out of a Hannaford's a couple years ago? He was grocery shopping, and people were like, hey, you douche, give Tommy his games back. And he left the grocery store, Danielle.
I love it. Speaking of Hannaford, I finally got my buffalo chicken pasta salad this weekend.
Oh, you love that Hannaford buffalo chicken pasta salad.
Not a
right?
deli salad. Salad person, that stuff is magic.
And it's not as good at Market Basket?
Not
no,
the same.
No disrespect to the Market Basket
nope,
people.
Love the Market Basket and the Demoulas yep. family, but no, it's different.
All right. It is Patriots Monday, and Dale and Keefe are at Foxborough, correct?
Yep.
And James White will be on with them?
Yes.
We know a time on that?
I believe around noon, but I'm not positive.
All right. And Bill Belichick this afternoon with OMF.
Did you see the story about Ozzie this weekend, Greg?
Ozzy Osbourne?
Yes.
No.
He has a gene mutation that allows him to survive decades of booze and drug abuse.
A gene mutation?
Yeah. This is actually fascinating. I can't wait for this book to come out. Bill Sullivan has written this new book. He's an author, and it's called Pleased to Meet Me, Genes, Germs, and the Curious Forces That Make Us Who We Are. And the book investigates all kinds of different gene mutations and DNA sequencing technology that show how people are different. And Ozzy Osbourne's DNA was submitted to actually a Cambridge-based company called Nome Incorporated.
Yeah.
And they did some DNA sequencing. And they found that he has this mutation that allows him to just basically be a hardcore drinker and drugger, and he's fine.
Is it called the Kennedy mutation? Or what?
Oh.
So Ozzy has a gene mutation that allows him... So there must be other people who have that same mutation.
Yes.
So they're not affected by drinking or doing drugs the same way the rest of us would
nope.
be.
I could still be drinking today down the Cape.
I know. If you only had that. God. Imagine, Curtis, if you only had the Ozzy mutation.
Man.
Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne needs to open up the Ozzy clinic right next to TB12.
Yes.
Oh,
or maybe
God.
They can work with him.
Yeah, it could be 00666 or something like that.
Nice.
Down at Foxborough.
Point 1-2.
Let's go after the morning. Let's go after the rain.
Sharon!
Sharon!
I think Churchill had a gene like that, too. He was able to drink his whole life crazy amounts and never had a liver issue or anything.
But the man couldn't get out of bed. I mean, he did all his work in bed. You ever notice that in that movie?
Yes.
I don't know if that's a great movie, by the way.
Excellent.
Have you been to the Churchill War Museum?
Cabinet War Rooms, yes.
It's so interesting.
Awesome.
If you go to London, England, it's the only thing that you have to do
yep.
is to go to the Churchill War Rooms. All right, we'll be right back.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Times have changed and times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home.
We now know that Ozzy will live to be 127 years old because he has a gene mutation that allows him to drink and do whatever drugs he wants, according to a new book.
Does that make him like an X-Man from biting the head off that bat at a concert? He's like a superhero, like Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's probably how it started. Yeah, it's like the radioactive spill. Was that with Spider-Man or what was
bitten by a radioactive spider.
Oh, yes. Forgive my ignorance on that. Somebody was involved in some kind of a radioactive spill in a laboratory or something who became a superhero.
Ari, I believe you're thinking of the Toxic Avenger.
Yes, thank you, Nick. Thank you. I knew you'd know that.
Greg, a little update on something we were talking about earlier from the Mr. Big Chest Department, a.k.a. Mr. Freeze. Antonio Brown, who, of course, now may very well try and sit out the season unless he gets his way and is allowed to use his old helmet.
Pardon me, Mr. Big Chest.
Of course, Tom Brady was saying that he doesn't love the new helmet, the Riddell Speedflex, wishes he could play with his old one. The NFL has come out with a statement, what I think is the most thankless job in all of sports, at NFL PR guy Brian McCarthy, who, quote, earlier, the player can't practice or play in games with equipment that's not approved. If he doesn't play or practice, he is in breach of his contract and doesn't get paid. NFL policy is that helmets have to be certified by NOSCAE. They don't certify equipment that's older than 10 years, end quote.
Now, new theory out of Pittsburgh is this is all a misdirection play by Antonio Brown to get people off the foot issue. So now they'll focus on the helmet. He'll drag this out for a while, and by the time it clears, he's back in the feeder ready to go.
Did you hear that from the hog and the bush or whatever?
The hog and the pony? Yeah. Oh, baby.
The radio show that you go on down there? Is that what they're talking
the
about?
The hog and the bush sounds like a better show, though. I'd listen to that.
Okay. Well, I mean, what do you think? What is Gruden going to do? I mean, is Gruden going to support him in this?
He already has come out in full support of Antonio Brown. You know he's got to be gritting his teeth so hard, like, I just want to cut him. Cut him, Mike.
Well, he's just hoping he can get the guy to play a down of football, correct? I mean, he's a mental case.
I want the game, but I don't need the game.
Yeah, he speaks in third person all the time. He's an absolute lunatic. Pittsburgh was willing to let Greg, the largely considered number one wide receiver in football, go for a third and a fifth. They didn't even get a second rounder or a first rounder for the best receiver in football. He's that crazy.
Yeah.
And the Bills had basically their entire season they felt was ended because they had a trade for him and then it fell through and they never got him. And now it actually looks like a good thing that he didn't end up in Buffalo.
So, but everybody knows about, I don't buy this with the conspiracy theory. People aren't going to forget about the frostbite and about getting the bad cryo. I mean, why are people going to forget about that? They're not going to forget about that.
You don't think in the last 48 hours that's been pushed to the back burner with this helmet
because
gate?
Of the helmet thing?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number to call if you want to be on today, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
How do you feel about the people who were showing up at Jeffrey Epstein's Upper East Side mansion to take selfies?
Disturbing.
There were tons of people that were stopping by there yesterday to take pictures, like couples, single people, families.
Families?
Yes, people with kids. Like, the guy is accused of bedding underage girls.
Well, he's a pedophile.
It's disgusting.
I mean, he's convicted. I mean, he did.
What's? How do you?
He did time for it.
How do you caption that? I mean, I was heading to Central Park today with the family. Figured on the way to Magnolia Bakery, we'd stop by Jeffrey Epstein's mansion.
It's so weird.
It's super weird. I don't understand.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me based on what people want. I mean,
but why would you want to associate yourself with that? Like, hey, I went by this tourist attraction and, oh, look, here's Jeffrey Epstein's mansion. It's so macabre and gross.
No, it's disgusting. It really is. I was reading today that a lot of people who signed got a plea bargain because they were going to testify against him, those plea bargains are now all going to be voided. And they may be charged with their crimes.
Really?
Yeah. So like, if you were somebody who had a deal for ratting on Jeffrey Epstein, now that he's killed himself, or excuse me, now that he died in prison.
Yes, thank you.
Raise your hand if you think he killed himself. Is there anybody, we talked about this earlier, is there anybody on the show who thinks that he legitimately hung himself?
No.
No, right? No,
I mean, the Daily Mail just put out this 10-point bullets of the reason. I mean, he was removed from suicide watch, and the cellmate was moved out. I mean, there are 15 different exhibits here.
Right.
Of why it was obviously not a coincidence.
And you know, you can speculate whether it's the Clintons or it's the president or...
I think there's a lot of people who
you think
wanted
everybody
him
got
dead.
To get you think there's a lot of people who wanted
I think
him dead.
There's a vast conspiracy here.
Yeah, they didn't want him squealing. Nope. They didn't want him talking.
Too many high profile people involved, whether or not it was to the degree that he was.
Yeah.
Even just, you know, because we've seen all the people that have speculated about, oh, this one was in a photo with him at a fundraiser in 97 and ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I think there were too many people that wanted him gone.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
What's up, Paul?
Hey.
Good morning, Greg. Greg, I've been working on some theories as to where Jeffrey Epstein's guards might have been at the time he allegedly hung himself. I wanted to share some of them with you.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay. Guards for Jeffrey Epstein were added to a work detail to help build a new tunnel for Mexican drug kingpin El Chapo Guzman. there was a renewed interest in locating Jimmy Hoffa after friends of Jeffrey Epstein offered a reward for his whereabouts.
All right, possible, yeah.
All the guards on Jeffrey Epstein's prison block fall for that old gag of standing on the sidewalk and looking up at the sky at nothing, and they stop to find out what you're looking at. Like a classic scene from Cool Hand Luke, guards are distracted when they find out Stormy Daniels is outside washing a car using extra soap. Prison officials assign Jeffrey Epstein guards to a posse to capture Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid
because
they feel they are the most qualified.
Yeah, it's very possible. Very possible.
And finally, friends of Jeffrey Epstein hold an impromptu Easter egg hunt and hint that all the eggs are made of gold.
All very possible. I mean, I think it's odd that the guards... I mean, the man tried to commit suicide a week ago, and you would think that they would be watching him 24 hours a day. But somebody apparently... I just happened to forget about that shift.
Lord, it's a miracle.
Makes complete sense that within 168 hours, they would remove him from suicide watch and just happen to leave himself alone for a couple hours, and whoopsie. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a staffing issue.
Yes.
We're going to call it a staff shortage issue.
It stinks. Something stinks in Denmark.
It reeks. It absolutely reeks. I don't. Even if you're not a conspiracy theorist, there's no way that you can't at least raise one eyebrow in connection to this story.
Yes.
What happens next? So is there an investigation into this?
The Justice Department and the FBI are investigating, but I don't know how
they're not going to come up with anything.
Somebody clearly of a very powerful, or some bodies of a very powerful nature, paid. It's as simple as paying the guards off, right? You give a bag of cash to the guards, and they don't watch him, and then he's allowed to off himself.
Now, who do you think... The last famous sort of in prison, how did this happen? We all saw it coming, was Whitey Bulger.
Right.
Now, who do you think was behind that?
Well, I think it's the mobster guy from, I don't want to say anybody.
Greg doesn't like to talk about
I don't like to talk about organized crime in Massachusetts.
There's
the guy Springfield.
Somebody in waste management, perhaps.
Right.
Bill Belichick is the Whitey Bulger of the NFL.
It's so obvious that it was an...
Bob Soucy was behind that.
And he's coming for you next after the breastfeeding comment, Friday.
Oh, no one saw him.
Yeah, it's so obvious that it's an enemy of somebody that had immunity who's now going to probably end up having to be on trial. It's just a matter of who specifically, but I think we all kind of have an idea.
You'll never know. It's like
there's no way. There'll be no findings.
Yeah, no.
There's no way that there will be this massive thing uncovered. It's just not going to happen.
You love The People versus O.J. Simpson, and these FX shows that Ryan Murphy produces are fantastic. Like the Assassination of Giovanni Versace.
Yeah.
Do we get a Jeffrey Epstein series by FX?
Mm. Absolutely. I think you absolutely will. Yeah, the Clintons will try to make sure that you don't, but I think you absolutely will. Yeah. All right, 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. It is a Patriots Monday here at WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.